All right, I think we will begin. I know more people are coming on, but I don't want to delay the start for those of us that are on time. Anyway, thank you for attending this year's conference. Yesterday we had I think a good day talking about retention. Heard several really good ideas.
Guys from Homestake around here.
So if you guys could just mute your line unless you're talking, that would be great. But anyway, we had a great conversation yesterday. So thank you for all that participated. I'd like to start by just introducing our board members that are on the call today. It's something we do at all of our conferences. I neglected to do that yesterday, so I apologize. But I'd like to introduce Richard Hodges from White Pine Touring in 10 Week Winter. He is also our chair of the board of directors. We have Nancy Billings-Colton from Eldora Nordic, Nate Harvey from Great Glen Trails. Mike Hussey should be on. I don't think I've seen him step on yet, but he's from Reichert Nordic. And then Jonathan Weisel from Nordic Group International should also be on. So thanks to those guys for supporting our calls, and certainly should you have any questions about the organization and don't can't reach me or don't want to talk to me, you can reach out to any of them. Let's see. So, and also I wanted to remind people to please remember the silent auction, bid often and high. That will help KISSA in so many ways. We appreciate that. And it's also membership renewal time. You should have all received your membership renewal. If for some reason you haven't or would like me to send it again, please let me know. And you can also just go right online and renew your membership. So that would be great. Our topic today is how to better use technology to gather data and reduce costs. The format for today's call will be a panel discussion, similar to what we've done in the past. But we'd like to invite our attendees to ask questions as we go. There is a raise hand function. It's in that little smiley balloon at the bottom, and you can use that to get recognized, and we'll get some hopefully get some good dialogue back and forth there. So feel free to ask questions anytime, and I will do my best to get to you as quickly as possible. We also have a chat function, so feel free to use that also. And as Nate mentioned yesterday, we are planning on returning to in-person meetings next fall and next winter, or I should say next spring. So we're hoping that many of you that have not joined some of those in-person meetings in the past will be able to join us. In addition to just talking about what's on the agenda, we have the ability to ski and share meals together, have a few cocktails, and really get a lot of conversation going. So it's a great experience. And with that, I'd like to introduce our panel for today's call. We have Kelly Davis from Snow Sports Insights. She's based in Maryland, but is a snow sport enthusiast, so don't let that fool you. We have Nancy Billings-Colton, Nordic Director from Eldora Nordic Center. We have Barney Hodges, Nordic Director from Reichert Nordic, and I see Barney's not in his car or a cat today, so we're looking good there. Thanks, Barney. And Sally Jones, cross country ski area manager from Tahoe Donner in California. So I want to start and first, come back and introduce Kelly again. Kelly Davis from Snow Sports Insights has been involved with KISSA for the past 3 years. She and I worked together many years ago at SIA, and she has probably 15 or 16 years now of experience in research in snow sports. So she just has a wealth of knowledge, and we're really lucky to have her. She did present at the Lake Placid Conference a few years ago, and has really been a leader in helping KISSA to really start its new I guess it's a new research initiative. So I'd like to start, and Kelly, can you share a little bit about your, I guess a little more about your background in snow sports research, because I know it's far more extensive than what I just led on to.
That was a good summary, though. Nice nutshell, Reese. So, yeah, I was the research director at SIA for 12 years, 11, 12 years. And I mean, before that, I did stints in .com and intelligence and manufacturing, a few other places. But 12 years at SIA, basically I was steeped in data the entire time. And my job, there was to just make the market a little bit more clear for everybody, suppliers, retailers, media, everybody. And so, you know, it was a great compliment to me when Reese asked me to help with KISS's research. And I hope that, you know, we're going to unveil some insights into the market that maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise. But yeah, it's a joy to do it. For my day job, by the way, I'm the senior director of research for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. So it's interesting to see where everything crosses over. It's been quite a journey. I'm also doing some work with the Winter Wildlands Alliance on backcountry. So I'm getting to see a lot of different aspects of the snow sports market and also aviation. And it is really interesting to see how different demographics do different things. And cross country is no exception. So that's probably a worse nutshell than you say. But
Great. And Kelly, can you, we're talking technology and data, and this is an area where I think our industry has been a little behind the curve in many ways. And so can you share just a little bit about the benefits and importance of technology and data, I guess, in general, and then in kind of that business environment, specifically for cross country?
Well, first of all, you know, technology enables better research. So in snow sports, for example, you know, there are ski areas that have RFID, and you can see basically what everybody's doing when they're there. You can find out when they're there. And technology also allows you to collect information about a consumer so that you can engage them and retain them as time goes on. I think the more you know about your consumer, the easier it's going to be to engage with them. And you know, given that what happened this year, we have so many new participants in the market, and we're hearing from retailers and from suppliers that inventories are cleaned out, that their sales were up something like 200 to 300%, and they could have sold more. They just didn't have any more to sell, which is a pretty amazing experience.
Can I go in the other room?
Yeah.
Was that a question?
No, if everyone could just mute their line, if you're unmuted, we are getting a little background. Anyway, continue, Kelly.
That's better than my dogs barking, so we'll be good. And you know, the more you know about your consumer, and I've seen some of the data now, and it's really illuminating. I mean, I've already grabbed some things out of it, and I'll share a little bit of that information with you today. But it's sort of critical to understand what's going on with your business. It allows you to plan better. It allows you to dose your resources a little bit better. So you know how many people are likely to come on a Wednesday versus a Saturday. You've got a better idea of how many day passes you're going to sell. You know how often somebody rents equipment. You can see who's renting equipment. And it just allows you a much clearer view of what's going on at your ski area and also in the market overall, so you can compare and find out exactly, you know, how you're doing according to the rest of the market.
And it's also important to verify some of the anecdotal information that you're thinking. I mean, I hear that a lot. Well, you know, we know what's going on because we see it, we live it. But it's always good to have that data to back up the facts and either confirm them or not confirm them. So I think that's super important. Kelly, with KISSA this year, you and I worked on several different research pieces. Can you just touch on kind of the program that we've laid out so far, you know, that's brought us to where we are now?
Yeah, we wanted to get a good view of what was going on in retail with suppliers and with consumers. So, you know, the first thing we did is start a series of retail surveys, and that, you know, it doesn't necessarily give you exact brand share and exact units sold and exact dollars sold, but we were able to collect enough information from a large enough set of retailers to find out, you know, what at least what the average was in the marketplace, and, you know, what brands were selling best, you know, if they noticed any trends. And I was able to triangulate that with a consumer survey that we also ran sort of in conjunction with retail. And honestly, I expected to have to work a little harder to get the number of consumers that we got to respond to these surveys. In fact, the last one we had something like 1,380 responses in the end, which is amazing. I mean, that gives us a really, really low margin of error. And that means if I ran the same survey 100 times, 95% of them would come back within 2% of the answers to the one that we just got. So pretty amazing result. And it allowed us to see from the retailer's perspective and the consumer's perspective in survey, you know, what the consumer's basic experiences look like, what they were buying, what they were planning on doing, what they were doing when they weren't cross-country skiing. And from the retail side, it gave us an idea of what the best sellers were, what trends they were seeing, and what percentage sales were up or down. And in this case, they were all up. I didn't have one down result. So gave us a pretty amazing view of the market. And in the meantime, what we did was an interview process with suppliers. So Reese and I would get on the phone with suppliers I think we've done it twice since the season started. So we could bounce what we are learning from the consumer surveys and the retailer surveys off of them and find out what was going on in their world, especially when it came to things like orders for next season. That was huge. And there are some things going on on the supply side that affect the retail and eventually will affect the consumer side because there have been supply chain disruptions. I mean, we had a call on the day that the Fisher factory actually, unfortunately, burned down in Ukraine. That was sort of an interesting call. And we've followed how that affected the market. We've looked at aluminum prices and how that's affected the market. So we've kept a pretty clear view of all three of those aspects of the marketplace.
And Kelly was alluding to, we've spoken with every supplier at least twice this winter, asking some of those details. Tomorrow's call is actually on supply chain, so I hope all of you will be able to get on that call. And there we're gonna talk to one supplier and a couple of retailers and really kind of delve into what happened, what's going to happen, and how best to protect yourself. All of those retail reports are available on the KISSA CCSAA.org website under latest news, and there's a research kind of sub tab there that has all those reports. So you can easily download those or read them right there. So that's been great. Okay. So that was a little bit about Kelly and a little bit about research. And this has been kind of, as we went through this year, which was obviously so unique in so many ways, we really had to start looking at our customers differently and looking at how we reach people. They weren't traveling. They maybe weren't coming in and out of your store that much. A lot more had to be done online. And we're seeing a lot of, a lot of direct to consumer sales. So that's been super interesting to see. We've had the chance to talk to a couple of our retailers ski areas that have collected data this year. And one of the things we wanted to do is look at some of the different data collection tools that people are using, but also look at what sort of information you can get from that data. So I'd like to go to Nancy now from Eldora. And Nancy, you tell us a little bit about your data collection. First tell us about any restrictions to your season that would have affected skier participation this year. I know you had some somewhat unique situations up there, and then we'll get into the system that you have. So a little bit about how this year went for just cross country overall.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Nancy Billings-Colton. I'm the director at the Eldora Nordic Center, which is about 22 miles west of Boulder, Colorado, and pretty close to the Denver metropolitan area. So we have the opportunity to have quite large volumes of people here. The Eldora Nordic Center shares a parking lot and is part of the Eldora Mountain Resort, which is an alpine ski area. And Eldora is owned by the Powder Corporation, which also owns like Copper Mountain and Killington and many others. So at Eldora, this year, our COVID precautions, we did the usual, the masking, the social distancing. And then we also had a very strict building capacity limitations. So in our Nordic Center, we really weren't allowed to let very many people in at once. So we had to keep people outside and kind of had a line, and like one or two people could come in at once. And so in order to keep our capacity limits in check, Eldora instituted a parking reservation system. So anybody coming to Eldora, whether it was to Nordic Ski or Alpine Ski, had to make a parking reservation. And Eldora was able to monitor the limits of how many people were at Eldora at any time by how many parking spaces they made available. So it was a little bit random for Nordic versus Alpine because it didn't filter whether the parking space was for a Nordic skier or an Alpine skier, but it worked really, really well. And that was the first filter to keep the limitations down. And like I said, the building capacity limits, we had people helping to keep people socially distant, all of that. And then we also instituted just a strict reservation system for private lessons and rentals. And so really the goal for us this year was to be open and have a great product for season pass people and anybody that wanted to come up, but we reduced our services. And on top of that, Eldora Nordic, anyway, the Alpine area has a great snowmaking system, but the Nordic Center does not. And so we got late snowfall and we did not open until January 1st, which is the latest we've ever opened. Usually we open around Thanksgiving, early December, somewhere in there. So by missing the Christmas season, our data is probably a little skewed. Also with all the COVID precautions, it's apples to oranges in looking at this year to last year, or even the year before, but we still pulled a lot of really good information out of that. Then also another thing that happened was, so we opened January 1st, and then on January 12th, Eldora was hitting capacity limits with both Alpine and Nordic. And so they pulled all of the full season passes from the sales menu. So the only season pass that anybody could buy was a midweek pass, a Monday through Friday pass. So a lot of our numbers from this year, it looks like we had greater midweek passes sold. And that's true. And that's because we started late, people withheld buying their full season passes, and then it was too late. They could only buy a midweek season pass. The other thing that's very unique about Eldora Nordic and the benefit of being involved with the Powder Corporation and an Alpine area is we are able to have a very sophisticated data collection system through our sales points, our season pass systems, our daily trail pass systems, and we have RFID gates. So when somebody comes to Eldora to buy a pass or a day ticket, we create a guest profile that captures a lot of information. It's their name, their birth date, what kind of pass they have, email, address, all that kind of stuff. And whether they're a day ticket user or a season pass user, it's the same information that we capture. And then every time they go through our gates, it reflects in the data because it's an RFID chip and it records all the usage that we have. Both we have an entrance gate and an exit gate. And so we're able to collect quite a bit of data.
Nancy, sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
So you talked a little bit about the parameters you had to deal with this year, opening late, reduce passes. What is your, looking at the, at that profile of your customer, what else is that tied to? So when they buy either an in-person or an online trail pass, season pass, that's captured. Is it tied to rentals or lessons in any way?
Yeah. So anytime they buy anything, we tie that to their profile. So if somebody comes in and buys, a jacket or even a thing of wax, we have to set a guest profile for retail as well. So anytime they use the trails or just come in and buy something, not food and beverage, but retail or any ski product, then we have to, our system makes us set up a guest profile. And so anytime they buy anything, it kind of, there's a record of their use here at Eldora. So they could be alpine skiers and come in and shop, and we can, you know, as we ring them up, we know where they've been and all that.
Which, and how do you capture, like, if someone's buying some wax, what do you ask them to provide so that you can track them?
Same thing, name, birth date.
So everyone has to do that.
Email, phone number, yeah.
And if they're in the system, you can just look them up quickly and there they are. Right.
Once they're in the system, then we have that profile and we just can start typing their name and it just usually just
populates.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the data that you had. And I will say that for Eldora and Reichert, both ski areas felt comfortable sharing their raw data with Kelly ultimately, which was great for her to be able to go in and really take a look at some of the trends that developed. We're going to talk a little bit about that data, but we're not going to talk about anything that's really proprietary, like skier days or revenue, anything like that. What we're really looking for in this data is the customer trends. And we talked a little bit yesterday about understanding your customer. This is one part of that, is when they come to your ski area, what do they actually do? You know, and I know that was an issue this year for so many. I talked to operators and they'd say, yeah, we didn't feel like there were that many people at our ski area today, but when we went out and groomed, the place was beaten up. And so they just didn't get to see them this year. But Nancy, let's go back and tell us a little bit about what you learned from the data that you were able to collect, you know, this year versus the other years, or just in general. You know, what are you looking at and how are you using that?
Well, I'd say first off, by having this system and being tied to an alpine area, it has really helped to legitimize Nordic skiing in general. The alpine area looks at our usage and says, oh, wow, you really are contributing. You're at least 10% of our business, which is true most days, not always. It kind of depends on the weather, the day of the week, or time of the season. But so by being being able to track actual accurate data and know how many people are out on the trails and actually using the gear that they're buying, then I think that gives us a lot more credibility as a sport and as a recreational avenue. Because we all know that grooming and running a ski area is expensive. And so it really helps for not only the ski areas to recognize that it's worth it and it's great to allocate resources to the Nordic Center, but I've also noticed that it helps our guests and customers feel like they're getting more value. It's interesting. It's harder to poach our trails, but also there's a lot of people that would never dream of that anymore because they realize how much effort it takes to have a ski area, and they're much more of a proponent to the Nordic skiing sport in general. So that's been really amazing. And then the data that we collect from year to year, we can look at weather, we can look at economics, pandemics, you know, strange things like that, but just really see the trends so that we can develop programs to, like Kelly said, understand our guests and get more engagement and this year, I think because we pulled the full season pass, we saw an increase in day ticket, people that would buy day tickets 10 or more times per season. Usually if somebody's going to come that many times, they're going to buy a season pass. But I suspect that those people bought a midweek pass, but they still wanted to come on the weekend and they were willing to pay for it. So that's really interesting. But I think that it's really helped in with the whole idea of legitimizing the sport is really increasing the enthusiasm that we talked about the retail sales for skis and just the gear in general. We're able to see how that correlates. Are people skiing more if they have the gear? If they don't have the gear, are they skiing less? So it's interesting to create partnerships and also programs around that data.
Awesome. So I picked out a couple tidbits from the data that I just wanted to highlight. And, you know, the easiest one is just your pass sale trend year over year. And that's, you know, very clearly, I'm not sure how processed that data was when it was supplied to us, but the summary report was really a very quick snapshot and very easily understood. The average day use for pass ranged from 9.8 to 14.4 over the past 3 years. So that was really interesting. And again, presented right there, super easy. That's a question that our industry always debates is if we're selling a season pass, how many skier days do we credit to that season pass? What's realistic and, you know, what is our industry average? So that was really interesting. It also broke out weekend and midweek skiing. And the data for this year, it showed 69% of the pass holders skied midweek versus 60% skied midweek in 2019. So certainly a trend that that makes sense and really interesting to see that really clearly laid out. It also showed that 57% of those that skied midweek were day ticket purchasers. And then overall, 64% of your entire guests skied midweek, up from 54% in 2019. So that information I thought was really interesting. And certainly we talked a lot this summer about trying to move people to midweek skiers. They may have done that naturally because of COVID, but there was a trend that I think we could see over a couple of years that they were going that way. Anyway, it was just kind of edged along a little quicker. On day passes, this was super interesting to me. In 2021, 31% who purchased a day pass only skied one day and didn't purchase another. And I think that might be consistent with a lot of our ski areas. And when we look at retention, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is how do you get that person back again? Why are they only coming once? Are they a transient person, you know, that's just coming through and they skied one day at your area, but they are a skier and they're going to ski 10 other areas like that? You know, another kind of interesting piece. And the other information you can get is your average visits per day. I thought that was fascinating. It tells you your total visits by every single day you were open by pass holder versus day pass person. It breaks down your total skiers on a Monday of the season, a Tuesday of the season, et cetera. So you can look at your 7 day week and say, okay, we have way more capacity on Monday, Tuesday. How are we going to fill that up? And the data was very, 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 very specific. I'm going to turn to, or I guess, Nancy, is there anything else that you're picking out of that data that I missed? Those are just a couple top line pieces. There's, as I said, it was very rich data and there was so much there. But anything else, Nancy, that I didn't highlight, or I'll throw it to Kelly after that to see if she had any quick pieces to throw out. But Nancy?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. I know that Eldora in general is really promoting midweek because we are really close to capacity almost every Saturday and Sunday, whether it's we have COVID restrictions or not. So that's a concerted effort to really drive that midweek visit. And it's great to see hard data, whether your efforts are working or not. So if you don't have the systems in place to gather that data, you know, it's kind of your best guess and just sort of, you know, looking at the parking lots or knowing how many people come through per day. So in a way, it's really great to have those systems in place so that you get the validation that all of your efforts are working.
Yeah, no, awesome. Kelly, were you able to look at that data at all? Did anything jump out at you? I know you were able to just look at numbers and things pop out. So I'm always interested in your
queries. Yeah, no. I mean, there's so much in that data that I'm not finished, by the way. I keep diving back in. And something you said, Nancy, was I thought, wow, you know, what would happen if we overlaid weather by day on your data? How cool would that be in being able to project in the future what kinds of weather conditions result in what kinds of visitation numbers? And we could even look at the segmentation of people that are visiting on a day with a given weather pattern. I mean, some people like bluebirds, some people like, you know, whiteout. Just depends. And it might be interesting to do that. And segmentation was one of the main things I looked at. So you're looking, you've got all of this information about the people who are visiting, the people who buy season passes, the people who buy day passes, and you've got information about where they live. You've got their age in some cases, and you've got information about how many times they visited, what they're doing. And so you can actually take that data and segment your consumers so that, you know, maybe you build 5 segments and you can surgically target any kind of marketing or advertising to a specific segment. So, you know, let's say you want to segment your season pass holders and you want to look at those who have not visited very much. You can do that and you can send them those people specifically a message. So I was looking at that a lot. I was looking at the ability to segment. And I was thinking about the single visit people, Reese, that you just talked about. We can segment those people and find out if they've got anything in common. So that we can basically understand who is likely to be a single visit customer before they even walk in the door. That would be pretty amazing. And, you know, maybe make a little extra effort to get them back the next time and see if we can turn them into multiple visit patrons. I also looked at things like, you know, what you were talking about, the breakdown of visits by the type of pass they had. I looked at the number of visits by age. That was pretty interesting. Looked at day passes with multiple visits, and I found something really interesting. I found there's a group of customers that keep buying day passes, and you can see it. You can see exactly when they come, and I'm shocked that some of these people didn't buy a season pass because they're wasting their money. They actually spent, in some cases, twice as much as a season pass would cost just buying day passes. But I've got a couple of them that you know, you can see they visited once, maybe twice in January, and then they started visiting once a week.
Kelly, I think you're talking about the Reichert data.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Reichert
data. Yeah, we're going to come to that one. I was just talking specifically because we're going to get to Barney in just a minute and talk about kind of that side of it.
I'm enthusiastic about it, Reese. So.
I know. We do have a question. Nancy, Sam from Trap asked about access points, and I know that's been a conversation we have. You only have one access point. Is that correct for your trail system?
Yeah, basically, we're fortunate in that just getting into Eldora in general, there's one gate. So you go through one gate there and that puts you into the parking lots. And then for Nordic, we basically have two access gates, but one is kind of fenced off. So I know a lot of Nordic areas have multiple access points or run along roads or whatever. So the system works well for us because we were able to really funnel all users through one RFID gate.
Right. So different there. And then Nate just had a comment that they used to scale their weather daily. Nate, you want to tell us a little about, did it work? It looks like you may not have really gotten too far with that.
Howie used to do this, on every day from opening to close, to try to get some reflection on the cash up. One being what we thought was a bluebird, beautiful day. Five being windy, cold Mount Washington, where maybe no one wanted to drive there. What we sometimes would do, Reese, is look back, the year prior when we're staffing for a holiday weekend. But at this point, you just put everybody on and pray for the best. It doesn't really work for that purpose. And to have the foresight to do that, it probably could work, but there's so many other factors. I just wanted to chime in because right. Kelly had mentioned it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely interesting. Okay, let's go to Reichard Nordic and Barney Hodges. Like I said, also shared his data. Barney, you used, well, tell us first about kind of, I know you're with the college, and the college put on some significant restrictions to start, and there was lots of questions, as we all had over the summer and fall, about what the season was going to look like. But what were the restrictions that you had to work with, just in terms of getting open?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks, Reese. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. We went into the season with a lot of question marks, right into early December. Actually, through most of November, we were kind of waiting to see where the college was going to come down on how they were going to let us operate. Typically, we would start mid-November, and we finish up. Hopefully, we make it through most of March. We have 5 kilometers of homologated snowmaking. So in Vermont, where we're located, sometimes snow cover is an issue. We're not necessarily in the snow belts of Vermont, so we need that man-made snow. So we're known by our customers as being a place with reliable snow, albeit sometimes on limited kilometers. So this year, as we went into the season, we didn't get the final word that we were going to be able to open until late November. We opened on December 9th, I want to say. And we had some really good snow prior to Christmas. So we had some really positive response to, we kind of had a hunch that we were going to get a lot of skier visits, and sure enough, it really started happening. Our biggest challenge initially was just figuring out how to articulate our mask policy, because the college has a mandatory mask policy on campus. We are sort of considered part of campus, but in an aerobic sport like Nordic skiing, we weren't sure. The state mandated sort of a 6-foot minimum distance mask requirement. So we sort of straddled that for a little while, had a lot of pushback on inconsistency around policy. And once we went to 100% mask policy, it was very clear and easy to enforce, and the public was very receptive and respectful of our policies, and things really took off. So overall, the other limitation that we had through being a college facility was we weren't allowed to put on any events. So we knew early in the season we were just going to be relying on typical traditional people coming to go cross country skiing, renting equipment, and maybe getting some lessons. Our lessons approach changed as well. Not to get on tangents, but it just being a facility under the wing of an institution like a college, we were up against sort of a different formula than we had been used to in the past. And it was extremely successful. Our skier visits were up close to 25%. Day passes were up over 50%. Seasons passes were up 20 to 25%. Rentals were up phenomenally. But I think as you're going to talk with Kelly about the trend within our data, well, this was the first year where we really harvested data using online ticket system of Liftopia. You cut me off if you need me to not go on any tangents, Reese, but I think one of the other great things about our systems this year was I saw someone had asked a question about how many access points do we have on our trail system. We kind of have one big one, a large parking lot, that we didn't really monitor how people got onto the trails from that parking lot in years past. This year, we put a gatehouse at the singular entrance. We do have a couple of other small places where people could access the trail system, but by funneling everybody through that gatehouse and sort of forcing an acknowledgement of their that they made a reservation to get into the trail system and check their tickets and their passes and all that, I think we improved our revenue stream immensely and allowed us to start collecting data that was meaningful for the first time this year. So whereas the previous speaker, what was that, Nikki?
Nancy.
Nancy, sorry. Nancy, sounds like you have a lot of or multiple years of data to reflect on, which is exciting. I think we're going to be looking forward to trying to continue to collect data and see trends year to year. Definitely some things popped out at us this year at Rikert about our data, but maybe you want Kelly to talk about that first.
Let me just ask now, you, as I understand it, you could buy your season pass online, your day ticket online, you could buy rentals online, and you could buy lessons online.
Actually, we didn't do lessons online because at the time we didn't have a method for our online system was pretty basic. We didn't have a way to do reservations online for lessons. You could make a reservation to come to the ski area, which was really just for contact tracing. We were not having reservations for time slots. We just wanted to know who was coming for the day and that we had their contact information. So if we had some issues, we were able to follow the state guidelines around contact tracing, things like
that. Okay, gotcha. And then if somebody came and purchased an additional product online, that is not reflected in the Liftopia data, is that correct?
What do you mean? If they came...
If they made a day reservation and bought a day pass and then they bought rentals on site, that would not be reflected in your Liftopia data, correct?
That's correct. Although we had other methods for capturing that data, which we have done, and unintentionally we didn't share that with Kelly.
Yep. No, that's
so right. So we do have a little bit more data, but it was a relatively small percentage because we were not encouraging any. You know, if we didn't want people to come into our lodge. So, you know, we were encouraging people to ski from the parking lot once they bought their tickets online. Sometimes we had folks who were really uncomfortable with technology and struggle with an online purchase, and we'd help them out. We could do that at the gatehouse through Liftopia, or we'd have them, we'd help them in other ways through our point of sale system.
Okay.
So our point of sale system was separate from the Liftopia.
Was separate, and they don't talk, which is one of them.
Right. Yeah.
So what Rikert was able to capture is every time any person came to ski, a season pass person or a day pass person, they had to make a reservation. Then they also, the data also has, they if they bought a day pass and if they bought rentals. Let's turn it over to Kelly. Now, this was a huge data set, I will say. Yeah, Kelly, tell us kind of what you learned out of that piece of information out of Rikert, because it was quite there was a lot of information there.
Yeah, and Barney, thanks for letting me look at it. It was sure. Sort of a new plaything for me. I really enjoyed it. Weird that way, but I'm gonna obfuscate a little bit because I definitely do not want to, you know, violate any confidentiality.
It's not a problem.
Just cut me. Just give me that if I get.
Okay.
But again, I mean, I was in the process of trying some sort of fundamental segmentation of your customer base, which is pretty fun. I mean, you've got a couple of different types of customers, especially with the college, right? And faculty members who are definitely enjoying your trails quite a bit. Kind of fun to look at. But one of the things that I found, and this is what I was starting to say last time, you've got a few day pass customers that should have bought a season pass, number one. It's, you know, you're making money off them, so good for you. But I could see in a couple of instances where, you know, you've got a day pass person that showed up once or twice in January, and then you started to see them visiting more often. And I don't, in January and February, I thought, well, maybe it's weather, but, you know, it didn't really look like it. What it looked like was they were getting better, and they were just thinking, man, I really love cross-country skiing. So they come more and more often. And so their visitation was accelerating. And so I started to look for that in your data. And I found a set of customers who just, you know, as the season went on, they started to visit more and more and more. And you know, their passion became pretty obvious. I mean, you could see it in the data. And you know, passion is contagious. So, you know, you want to find your most passionate customers and, you know, basically engage with them because passion is contagious. You know, they're going to go back, they're going to talk about how great it was, and more people are going to come. And it's sort of the Fabergé Organics commercial, she told two friends, and so on and so on and so on. So I found that in your data, and I found the ability to segment in your data, which was amazing. And I know what percentage of day passes to your full passes were, which is interesting. And I didn't have year-to-year data, so that was a little difficult. It was almost 10.
You didn't have our what? You didn't have what data?
Past year's data.
Right. And we don't have as good data in previous years as well.
If it trended, I bet. I mean, you're talking about how much your visitation was up. I mean, I'm guessing that overall in the cross country market, that visitation was up probably over 30%, if not more, and in some cases up 200 or 300%, you know, just depending on what your customer base was. But, you know, those are just some snippets of things I found, and I'm not done yet, Barney. I'm still enjoying it and still diving in.
Well, you've probably, we're still recovering from the year, so we haven't dived in as deeply as you have, I think, and look forward to doing that.
All right. Well, we should trade notes.
Yeah,
for sure. When we're done doing it, because I mean, I've got a picture in my head of who your customers are, what happens on any given day of the week. And, you know, because I don't have data from prior years, I'm guessing that your weekday visits were up, but I'm not sure.
They were. They were.
And I mean, I think that happened all over the market, but I've only got a couple of data sets to look at so far. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I mean, that's something that the industry has struggled for years to get done. And you know, I think, who knew that it was a pandemic that was going to cause it to actually work, where you know, weekdays were a little bit better, but weekends are still at capacity. So, you know, what do you do about that? You know, that's a good problem to have, but you know, maybe you can convince more people to come on weekdays, and we'll see what happens with the trends with work. I mean, is it going to be a hybrid model? Or are people going to be able to continue to live remotely? Are the people that move to the resort town going to stay there? Are they going to keep their home and continue to be there? Because that would drive weekday visits too. So that's why segmenting the audience is so important, so that you can understand who these people are, where they live, how old they are, what they buy, how often they visit, and look at next year and try and figure out what they're going to do and try and, you know, help them along their journey.
Barney, does Liftopia have any built-in reporting that you get, or do you just get the Excel data sheet?
They have certain reporting you can request that, you know, that ties into your criteria that you've already, you know, based on what your items are. You can get different reporting. I mean, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, we were most interested in.
Are you coming back here, Willem, or not?
Whoops. Okay. We were most interested in skier visits and day passes versus seasons pass information. So, I mean, I think, again, being the first year that we've really engaged in collecting data, we've always wanted it, but it was the reservation system that forced us to reach out the way we did through Liftopia. And it's exciting to have that information now. Reese, I have an anecdotal thing I just would like to share if that's appropriate.
Sure.
You know, I think for us, because we often have many weekends filled with events in years past. And, you know, those, we include those events. We sort of estimate how they affect our total skier visits for the year. And, you know, this year without having events, it was very obvious that we were going to have to be relying on our local skier base for a majority of our business. And Vermont had some very restrictive interstate restrictions. So we knew that it was going to be, you know, mostly Vermonters coming to ski or out-of-staters who had, you know, hopefully followed the guidelines. And the fact that we were up so significantly in our total number of visits, that we were, you know, I think one of the trends that late in the season, we engaged the college community, the students themselves, we kind of embraced them with open arms once they were allowed to move about our county more, through the, you know, as the college lifted some of the restrictions on the student body moving around, we encouraged them to come up the hill. And, you know, in March, they really exploded onto the scene, which is evident in the data. And then furthermore, it's gotten me to sort of think about how are we not connecting with some of our most local sources of potential skiers. For us, you know, there's quite a few really good alpine. We have our sister mountain, the Snowbowl, which the college owns as well. You know, the alpine skiers, we are always trying to work with the Snowbowl to have sort of cross-pollination of our skiers at both mountains. And we did some creative sort of package marketing with them this year. But furthermore, you know, I would just say the alpine areas in general aren't, you know, on the other side of the mountains, you know, Killington is further south, but Sugar Bush and Mad River Valley, you know, there's a lot of skiers up there that, you know, might come to Vermont for a week and not want to ski all the time on an alpine area. And we certainly have a great product to offer. And so how can we connect with local or regional skiers more effectively? Because that's what exploded for us this year. And I think we've often been thinking about being a destination place and trying to reach out to across state boundaries to get people to come visit us. Whereas I think there's a lot of low hanging fruit nearby that we could be focusing on in the future. And it's the data that we're looking at now that really backs that up. It says those local skiers or people who are near our ski area are really interested in skiing at our facility.
Really interesting. Thanks. Thanks, Barney, for sharing that. That's a really great question. We've talked about that low hanging fruit and how do you reach out to your local community and get them to really engage. Kelly, I want to come back to you, but first I want to go to Sally Jones from Tahoe Donner. And Sally, can you share, I know you and I talked a little bit about your system. I think it's Aspenware that you use. Can you share a little bit about what you were able to collect this year and how you were able to use that to cut some of your, you know, or reduce costs on those coming days because you had an insight into what was going to happen?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Sally from Tahoe Donner, California, and Truckee, Lake Tahoe area. We're part of a homeowner association, and so we use Aspenware as well as RTP, the software for all of our processing. So it goes beyond just our cross-country ski area, which is great. It's a big system. It collects a lot of data. The downside is that it's not specific to ski areas. It is, but we use it for other things as well. So we collect a lot of data, but actually harvesting it and analyzing it is quite heavy. We haven't looked into it yet for this year to gather what we can. But we know the numbers are all in there. It's just a matter of creating the reports to get the data out. So I'm curious to spend some time this summer trying to crunch the numbers. We've always had a good daily record of number of tickets sold to our homeowners, the guests of our homeowners and the general public. That goes for day passes and seasons passes. likewise for rentals. Again, it all funnels into this one system. So we have the data. Customer profile wise, I think it was Nancy talking earlier about that. We've always collected good data on our renters, but not on our day pass holders. So I'm also excited to look and see what were the trends there. We had an explosion, as most of us did, in numbers. However, we kept turning people away, which I never thought I would see in my career in the Nordic ski world. We have a capacity in our parking lot. So we had numbers of seasons passes exploded. So we only had so many places to park vehicles. So we probably did a third of our normal day trippers on the weekends, which was very different to work with. What we loved was the fact that we could see how many people have pre-reserved and the fact that we knew how many tickets we could sell, which would govern how many rentals we could do. So a day ahead, 2 days ahead, we knew we were sold out, and we knew that we needed this many instructors because we'd sold all the lessons. We knew we needed this many people in the rental shop to process them and this many ticket sellers. And we also did the ambassador meter and greeter thing outside as well. So our staffing efficiencies it was phenomenal what that allowed us to do. Normally, we all sit there, I'm sure I speak for most of us on the call, we sit there and just assume and wait and see what shows up on a day-to-day basis. But we could really plan ahead, and I think our employees really appreciated that too, because instructors don't show up and then sit around not being able to teach. They knew they were coming in for three privates. They were going to teach the group they taught last year or the day before. So it just made us all feel a lot more professional, if anything else, as well as a lot more organized. So staffing efficiencies were huge. We're also able to, I spoke to it a little bit yesterday on the fact we sold out of seasons passes. The fact that we sell out of day tickets, we also use that in our grooming report to say, hey, we've sold out for Saturday, buy early for Sunday or buy early for next weekend because we've sold out. Try to come midweek if you can, because we sell out every weekend. So we're able to, I feel, manage and manipulate and encourage our customers to come when we had the most capacity and the most need for them. And as a result, we did see a huge increase, although our weekend numbers dollar-wise dropped and number of renters and day users dropped, our actual usage went up because on a weekly basis, because we were ticking along pretty busy every midweek day, as well as all of our seasons pass holders seemed to come on the weekends too. I think we were hit mainly, we're close to San Francisco and Silicon Valley, and everybody moved up to their second home with their kids, or they bought homes and moved in. So our base population jumped. I think we're normally about 15,000 people in our town. We went up by 1,000 full-time residents this winter. And I think at least half of them took up cross-country skiing. pretty cool to see. I'm excited to play with what Aspenware allows. And I know Liftopia allows this too, and many other softwares, to be able to incentivize through pricing. So our goal is to, if you pre-book and help us manage and organize and be efficient, then you'll get a cheaper rate than if you just walk up on the day or even book the night before. We were finding, at first California made us, you had to pre-book, you could not buy a day ticket on the day. Once that loosened up and we started to allow people to buy overnight or the day of, really got a glimpse into our typical day trippers. They like to wait till the last minute, even though it's a bluebird week, the conditions are great, they still would rather wait till the night before or the morning of to buy their tickets. So that caught us short a few times in rentals, because we were pre-pulling all the equipment. And so you'd walk in and we'd have it pulled for you and you took it outside to try on. So there were some mornings I would call my rental supervisor, I think she's on the call now, I'd call her at 7 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, and say, hey, we've got to get in there early. We've got 40 pairs of gear to pull, 40 sets of gear to pull this morning before 8:30. So that's an interesting statistic. We saw just that delay in decision-making. So we're hoping to help people through the pricing structure next year to say, you book early, you commit to us, we'll commit to a lower price for you. You can hopefully still buy a ticket on the day, but it'll cost you a little bit more. Then the other piece that we saw, I don't have stats on this yet, but we felt like we saw a lot more younger people. We were debriefing the other day with the core team, and it really feels like we're, at least here, we're feeling a little bit like in the 80s and 90s, where there was a surge in the interest in cross country, and a lot of 20, 30 year olds were getting involved. They were buying the gear, the equipment, top of the line, wanted to get dressed the right way, buy the gloves, buy the jacket, which is pretty exciting, because it just feels like we felt like we were beginning to age out, that, you know, our average age on our staff and our enthusiastic crowd and our typical seasons pass holders seemed to be getting older and older by the year. But it really felt this year, both in my staffing and seasons pass clientele and day trippers, that we dropped a decade or two, which is super exciting for the sport too.
Cool. I want to go back. I highly recommend people take a look at what's being posted in the chat, because some interesting comments there might be of interest to people. Kelly, going back to the data in general, you touched on a couple trends you're seeing. How would you use, you know, any of the data sets that we've talked about, or just data in general? How would you use that as a cross country ski area to not only help retain your customers, but also to look at, I guess, getting these guys back a little more often and, providing really what they're looking for.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd probably segment it. So I'd look at the different types of customers that bought different products, different pass products, whether it was a single day pass or a season pass, and they came, 70 times to go skiing. I would look at that and figure out, what do I want to say to these people in order to make sure that they know I care about them, they're engaged, and they will come back next season. And the trick here is really retention. And, thinking about young people, and I will say about young people, every single industry is trying to figure this out, because, times have changed and there aren't any real lifestyle habits anymore. Like, it's not like if you decide you're going to be a cross-country skier that defines everything about you. And there's a time when that was kind of true. I mean, ask snowboard. They really suffered from this when people like sort of broke away, and social media is pretty much the cause of all of that, I think. But what I would do is I would segment the data, look at who's coming, figure out what messages I want to send to each group, and then plan to send them those messages. And I would also look especially at the new visitors and try and figure out, where are they from? How old are they in general? Try and figure out what their patterns are and really go after them, because you're looking at a lifetime spend with those customers. You want to keep them engaged and you want to make sure that you retain them. I'd also look at the data to figure out what the patterns of visitation were and what the patterns of buying behavior were. If you can do that, even if you can do it separately, I would do that so that you can make plans for next season and do a better projection on what you can expect so that you can dose your resources most efficiently. It makes everybody happier. Those are some of the things. There are a million things, Reese. And, and geez, Sally, if you want help looking at your data, I'd be happy to help. Things like, you can see where families came to visit and you can see the size of families. And that would be an important demographic for you. You get one of them, you get all of them, and it's a great family activity. So you know exactly how to market to them. So that's one more example of what you can do with the data and how granular it can get and how much it can help you. Being more efficient definitely saves you money and increases your effectiveness, whether it's in marketing or, what resources you're going to plan to have, on the trails that day, or even a day a year from now. So it just helps you make better decisions about your resources.
That's awesome. And I think, you mentioned the mailing list and reaching out to these people. Anyone who's collecting data now has an incredibly robust mailing list. And, looking at Barney and Nancy, both of you know every single person that came to your ski area this year. That's amazingly deep data. And those lists, I know it's daunting for many of our skiers, but those lists definitely should be used. I want to finish up with a conversation that I had with Nate this morning. Nate, and one of the issues that I think many of our cross-country ski areas have with data collection is a little bit of what we've heard today, at least from Barney. you're frequently running different systems for different parts of your business. So Nate, you spoke about an online system that you have that's booking reservations, then a separate POS system that you have at all of your registers. Can you speak a little bit to how those either talk or don't talk and issues that creates?
Sure. Nate from Great Glen in Mount Washington in New Hampshire. Reese, originally we started with this POS system, which we dumped quite a bit of money into to manage our retail product and sales for a summer operation and winter, as well as, you know, our trail passes, lessons, rentals, guided tours up Mount Washington. And we never really even tapped maybe 30% of the capacity of what this software could do. Maybe 6 or 7 years ago, maybe more than that, Reese, 8, 9 years ago, we just got into this online system, which I know a few people that run cross country centers use. There's many versions of it or similar programs, but this one's called Fair Harbor. We've been very happy with their customer service, their rates, the ease of our employees to get in the back end and just create and manipulate all these products that we want to sell online. And we quickly learned that it's so much easier because we're such a weather dependent operation, and all of us are, especially at Mount Washington, it's so much easier to staff when you can sell ahead of time. You know, we're a little bit behind in New Hampshire, but we're catching up. I think, you know, we could have sold everything on the POS system, not necessarily online in full picture like we do now with Fair Harbor. But this is just grown so rapidly and given us so much more income and the ability to shape what we're selling to the public and forecast our staffing, I guess, Reese, is what mostly I see a big part of it is I'm in charge of staffing a lot of people. And if you sell your product ahead of time, you can count on them coming in.
Right. Right. The one area where I know we still struggle is having those different systems talk to each other. And Barney, to your point, you've got your Liftopia data and then you have your POS data and they're not in one data set at this point. And there isn't, to my knowledge, any one program that really works for cross-country skiing. I think the Alpine guys probably have done a better job. They're obviously a couple of years ahead of us there, and they have a different revenue model, so they can spend some larger dollars on their technology that will provide that will integrate everything. So that you get one report that has everything, all your sales on it. The interesting thing, and I think maybe Nancy has that ability, is to look at, as we talked about customer journey yesterday, but also talking about customer journey here. What are they doing at your resort? You know, if your day pass people, are they also buying rentals and lessons, or are they just buying rentals? Or do they have their own equipment? And then what are they buying in your shop? Are they buying your skis? Can you see that trend of somebody who's rented for 2 days and then the next 5 days that they come, they don't rent and they've got equipment that they may or may not have purchased at your shop. So looking, gaining that information to better understand kind of the path of your customer through your operation might show some areas where you could be weak and might be able to increase your revenue. And I think the other piece is your yield per customer, something that Alpine talks about a lot. I know Nancy's Gates did have a column for their yield per person in the various different years. So that can show that trend. Are you trending up? Are you trending down? And what is that number? Is it really small? Is it pretty big? And that shows that people are, if it's big, they're shopping or they're buying various different pieces of your business, which obviously from our retention discussion yesterday is important. Are there any questions? We're running an hour and 11 minutes. So I want to wrap this up. And there's been some great comments in the chat. I haven't been able to look at them all. But one right here is the cost of some of these systems. I know in talking to the gate people, they say you really need to be doing 30,000 skier days to make the gates effective financially. I don't know what those systems cost offhand, but I know they are pretty pricey. And they only work if you've got a controlled access point. I know the guys at Orta put in a gate, but it was somewhat freestanding this year. And they said a lot of people were able to go around the gate. So that didn't help them too much, but they're going to be working on that for next year. Any questions? And if not, I'll wrap this call. We've got one hand raised. Barney, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just kind of posing a question or something that we're going to be hashing out a little bit. You know, this year, COVID gave us the cover to sort of require every visitor to make a reservation. And for us, it was for COVID tracing. It wasn't for time slot management or trail access. It was, but getting them, forcing them to make that reservation could be done under the cloak of a pandemic. So nobody complained about it or was upset about the hassle of having to do that. And it was invaluable information, as Nate and others have mentioned, you know, understanding what kind of day we had ahead of us. Although it was incredible how many day of reservations were made because we weren't requiring it for for getting your time slot. It was just to come to the facility, you had to make a reservation. But, you know, the data we got as a result of that was awesome. How next year are we going, you know, are we going to get everybody to do the same thing? I mean, I think if we can continue to require ticket and pass sales to occur online rather than through the lodge, or if our systems can merge somehow, you know, our point of sale and Liftopia, I think that is, I don't think we can expect people to make reservations for visitation when there's no pandemic. I think the patients will run out on that one. So how do we, if I understand Nancy correctly, you know, they have an RFD system, and, you know, I'm sure that other people are successful at harvesting that data, but just understanding our season's pass behavior more specifically, we were able to do this year, whereas before it was sort of a projection of how many average, what do we think the pass holder visits were. So I think that's going to be a challenge for us going forward and trying to sustain that type of involvement in our system. And we have to create the system to force that to happen without making it annoying or frustrating for the public. Does that make it?
No, that's a good point. Hopefully we have, they've been trained through all of the other industries that's the future is booking in advance, but we'll see.
And it is more efficient, and everybody liked that. I think someone just mentioned that, I think the experience, the interaction with the customers was more positive because we were more efficient and sort of provided a better service.
Yeah. Good. Any other questions? All right. Well, without any other questions, thank you all for your attention today. It's been great to listen to this. I think this data acquisition issue will be something we'll be talking about for many years, and I know we're creeping forward here, so that's a really exciting thing. I think it's going to be fascinating for Kelly to dig into some of this data a little more and really look at those trends of what we're seeing, and that'll also help better understand the customer. Thanks to our panel members today. It was awesome to have your expertise and your info on what you're doing. Our topic for tomorrow is supply chain. That should be really interesting. We're going to talk a little bit with Solomon, and then also get an update from NPD on what they're seeing kind of across the outdoor industry, and also talk to a couple retailers. So it should be great. And please remember the silent auction. Please bid often and bid high. All those dollars are very helpful for KISSA. And with that, I will say goodbye until tomorrow. The link you used today is good for tomorrow, but I will also send it out in the morning again.